Srimad Hristivayin Grace. Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sukho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Si Si Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinata Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Mathura Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvipa Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Hari Nama Sankirtan Ki Jai Samavita Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai O Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Shigaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I wanted to read to you a text from the Bhagavatam this morning. It is in the sixth canto, 11th chapter, text 26. Do we have that volume of the Bhagavatam there, Dayal Gauranga? Could you please look? Sixth, 11. In a computer, that would be good, Sitarani. Can you keep a Sitarani? Please find it. 6:11:26. Here.
I'm not sure because the Mac bit isn't working.
It's not working. Okay, we will find another. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. While our computer devotees look for the text, I can already start the... But everyone, the computers have this energy. When once someone tries to find something in the computer, everyone looks in the direction of the computer. So maybe I should wait. 6:11, text 26. Oh, computer experts, what is happening? On your screen. Is it coming or?
Yes,
also there. Also there. Yeah. Hast du eigentlich auch computer? Du auch nicht. Wieso nicht? Hast du keine rechte Beziehung dazu? Wow, you're an expert. Adhyata Paksha Ivamata. Yes, it's Paksha. Ajata Paksha Ivamata Damkagas Tanyam Yatavat Satarakshudata Priyam Priyeva Yushitam Vishanna Mano Ravindakshati Drikshati Tvam. Let me tell you in which context this Bhagavatam Shloka takes place. Before telling you what the text says, this verse comes flowing out of the mouth of Britasura, who is telling us about his deep desire to be again connected with Krishna. And he will give three examples or analogies how his desire to be with Krishna is increasing by certain steps. First, he gives the example of baby birds who have not yet developed their wings, you know, but who sit in the nest and wait longingly for her mother to bring some food. I think in the springtime, I have once seen here in our temple gardens, there was one. It was either an Amsel or a Star. I can't tell you the English names of these birds. And there was a nest of these little birds, and they were crying for the mother. Doop, 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 and they were all mouths. Have you seen this? They looked a little bit like Dayagoranga when he chants ecstatically, when you see only one big mouth and 2 feet underneath the mouth. Yes, this is a good chanter. So in this way one should chant as baby birds who are calling for her mother. Second example is the calf who awaits anxiously at the time it went away. And now I see some good pictures. Who is that?
My ashram teacher.
Your ashram teacher.
He So
the calf is waiting for the mother cow anxiously at the time of milking to give milk to her. And the final analogy is that of a wife whose husband is far away in distant countries and who waits for her beloved husband to return. So I will read to you this. Maybe, Prabhuji, you can stay with me here in case the thing starts to fly out of my hand or you know. So here is the verse for you. You will... It ends here, the purport, right? Oh, good. Then Prabhuji, I can do. I just have to read. It's simple. This much I can do. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, and as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife, morose means sad, whose husband is away from home, always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Purport. A pure devotee always yearns to associate personally with the Lord and render service unto him. The examples given in this regard are most appropriate. A small baby bird is practically never satisfied except when the mother bird comes to feed it. A small calf is not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And a chaste, devoted wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has association of her beloved husband. So, in case you want to read this text, it's really nice. It's the 6th canto, chapter 11, text 26. Thank you so much. So here we have three very good examples of what it means to awaken the heart with devotional feelings. The little bird calls out for her mother with feelings. You can see these birds in the springtime when they are all mouth, they are still naked, their feathers have not yet come and therefore they don't have wings. And they very urgently call for the mother. They are hungry. And when the mother comes, only then their life starts. Or the little calves who are dependent on the mother. I have seen this in Braj. You know, the farmers put the mother cow here and then they tie the little calf nearby. So the mother cow looks to the calf and the calf looks to the mother cow, and really they are full of affection for each other. Mother is going moo, moo. She wants to go to the calf, and the calf is not even saying anything. He's just breathless and wants to go. So, because the mother cow sees her calf, her affection begins to flow, and this means somehow her body brings forth showers of milk, which accumulate in the udder, and then the farmer comes and begins to milk the cow, and when he feels there's still enough milk inside for the needs of the calf, he unties the calf, and the calf comes like a flash running to the mother and starts to drink. So I don't know if you know this. Cows, they produce milk by the force of affection. We have one, in Vrindavan, I have a godbrother whose name is Prem Kishore, who has gotten very rare cows. These were cows which really look like Surabi cows. Have you seen? You have seen. Amazing, isn't it? They look different from the normal Vrindavan cows, who look somewhat skinny because it's a new brand. These cows, they look like in the pictures of Mr. Sharma, you know, the nice painter in Jaipur who paints these. They look very healthy and very fatty. And there's one cow, my dear devotees, this is the best cow. Her name is Yamuna. You have seen Yamuna. Ooh, Yamuna looks so healthy. And Yamuna never had a child. I don't know if you know. No, no. She never had a child, but she gives milk up to this day. How? This Yamuna just is in love with Prem Kishore. And Prem Kishore puts a little mustard oil on his arm and then a little salt, and he comes, Yamuna ji. And Yamuna, oh, Prem Kishore is coming. He smells so good. and then she starts to lick his arm. And just loves Prem Kishore, you know, just pure love, you know, without any inhibition. Yamuna loves Prem Kishore. That is, it's a love story. And because she loves him so much, she somehow produces milk. Because in her mind is, those whom I love, I give milk for them. That's in her mind. So I love my Prem Kishore, so let him have milk. And she produces milk, and it's, my dear devotees, if you drink this milk of Yamuna, which is nothing else than liquid love, you faint. It's so good. It's really good. I had one glass of milk, and then I fainted. And then when I came back to consciousness, Prem Kishore asked me if I wanted more milk. And I said, Prem Kishore, this is too strong for me. One glass is enough, you know. Otherwise, I faint again, you know. It's really good. Yamuna is the best cow. There's no question in my mind. So you can imagine if there is a mother like Yamuna, and let us say she would have a calf, how much the calf would like to go to this loving mother Yamuna and drink her milk. This is very clear. So devotees should go with the same mood as a calf to the supreme lover, Krishna. They should yearn to be connected with him. This is the idea. So these are the analogies. The last analogy I usually don't talk about because it's Kali Yuga and wives don't love their husbands anymore longer that much. You know, it's and husbands are also sometimes rascals and Hare Krishna. But in an ideal marriage, a wife would feel sad when the husband would be away, and long for him to return to give her pleasure and so that she could serve him and cook his favorite dishes maybe and so on. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you want to chant, you have to chant in the mood of these examples. That is, you should yearn means to long, to want very deeply the association of Krishna when you chant. Let me ask you a question. Let me first tell you something. I'm a little bit fast this morning. There is a very interesting article by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his book Sri Chaitanya's Teaching. This article has really captured my heart. In this article, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that there is the holy name and that there is the holy name. One holy name is not Krishna, the other holy name is Krishna. Listen to this very carefully. You have to use your intelligence a little bit. He writes, the holy name of Krishna means divine sound. This divine sound must have its origin beyond the air area of Maya. This divine sound must have its origin in Goloka Vrindavan. And now listen again very careful, Raghavananda. We will wait until you sit, because this is such an important point. Hare Krishna. He says, the mere physical sound is not the holy name of Krishna. Repeating only the syllables of the holy name is called mayik sound. It has no spiritual essence. The life of the name is absent in offensive chanting.
Yes, please.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Now, because this is a new concept for us. What? I can chant the Hare Krishna mantra, apparently, and Krishna is not present. This is new, and this is slightly bewildering. So let us try to understand this point more deeper. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur offers us an example. He says, the holy name of Krishna means divine sound. It can be compared to a capsule of medicine. You know this capsules, they are usually made out of gelatin, which is a problem for vegetarians. Or now there are also vegetarian capsules, which are produced by Radharati and which I use. You know, they are made from cellulose, you know, that material which is in the orange and keeps the little compartments in which the juice is together. So, do you all know these medicine capsules? Do you know what is meant with it? Yeah? Krishna Chaitanya? You know. Good. So, the capsule is not the medicine. Externally, one capsule may look like another. But within one capsule, there may be medicine. Within another, there may be cyanide. Cyanide is a deadly poison which Adolf Hitler used to kill himself when the elite forces found him. Arsen, I think it's in German, Arsen. So the capsule itself is not the medicine. In the same way, it is not the sound of Krishna's name that is Krishna. Krishna is within the sound. The holy name must be surcharged with the proper spirit, not any mundane sentiment. Again, this is a little difficult, and we need further explanation to go into this. See, how can you produce Krishna? You are an ordinary conditioned soul, which makes ordinary material sounds with an ordinary material sound production. You have vocal cords, you have a tongue, and you talk gossip usually with this. No? I mean, not you, but the normal person talks mundane sounds with it. Do you think that you can just take these things, the vocal cord and a little air, and produce God? God has to come. Krishna has to come. Do you think Krishna is always present if someone just takes the name? Even in this world, when you are calling for someone, that person may not come. Let me give you an example. When I'm sitting at the desk in the vegetarian restaurant, and I'm calling for the Konoba. What is Konoba? The Veda. Veda. Veda, come, 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 come. The Veda may think, no, I am. Hare Krishna, no need to come. You are so ugly and so bad, and you don't have any money. You know. Do you think anyone can just call Krishna? And Krishna is even less than a Veda. He just comes running the moment someone calls him. Hey, come. Hey, boy, come. Therefore, Krishna only comes when there is a devotional mood, a spirit. A tape recorder says, I would say, the most important thing in chanting the holy name is the spiritual realization backing the name. Backing means it's in the background. That is the real name. A tape recorder can pronounce the holy name of Krishna just like a parrot. But the physical sound is not Krishna. You know, we can see this. There is in Vedantakrit and his wife Arjuna Gopi have a parrot. Have you seen that parrot? His name is Haridas. He's a real nice parrot. You have not seen? You have seen Dayaguranga? Maybe they are afraid or ashamed to show it. This parrot is able to, it lives 100 years. Now he can chant, eyeball, eyeball, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But do you think that Krishna is present? No, the parrot has no mind. He has no devotional mind. It's not, Krishna is not coming. In the background of chanting, there must be spiritual truth, which is conscious. You cannot capture the holy name of Krishna simply by vibrating the syllables of the holy name. You can't make a machine which just goes krak, krak, Krishna, Krishna, and then God is present. There must be consciousness there, which attracts another consciousness that is Krishna. And this must be a devotional consciousness, not a demoniac consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says, Ravana wanted to capture Sita, and he thought he did so. But factually, he did not touch her divine body. Do you know what Ravana kidnapped? What was that?
Shadow.
Sometimes it said a shadow, at other times it said it's a mayic form of Sita, which was produced by Agni Devi. It was not Sita herself. Ravana caught only a mundane replica. Replica is like, it is made in the same form, like a mannequin in the shopping window. You know, it looks like a real woman or like a real man, but if you would look, it's just plastic, you know. It's not real. It's an imitation, which was like a statue of Sita. In the same way, you cannot vibrate the holy name simply by moving the lips and tongue. The pure name of Krishna, my dear devotees, is not lip deep, but heart deep. Lenin Prabhu, it is not just by the lips. You have to chant with your consciousness, with your real consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and that attracts Krishna. The holy name is only realized when we approach him with a very intense serving attitude. Please let me serve you. Please let me engage in your service. At that time, Krishna himself may come down by his grace, being attracted by our pure serving nature. That is the holy name of Krishna, Vaikuntha Nam, the real name of Krishna. We cannot produce it with our lips. Krishna has to come and appear on our tongue. He can appear anywhere, in any form, in any place, in any sound. My dear devotees, when I read this, I thought, I love to know what Prabhupada says to this point. Because I had always believed, when someone just chants, Krishna, Krishna is there. Somehow, deep in my mind, however, there was a little doubt. Is it really that easy that God just comes and anyone can just say Krishna? And if it would be so, why would I still be in Maya if I have chanted, you know? If I would have God on my tongue, I couldn't be in Maya. Where is Krishna, there is no Maya. Just like where the sun is, there is no darkness. It just doesn't, the two don't go together. So then I looked very much in Prabhupada's writings, and I found in Mayapur, where Prabhupada was in his room and where he talked about the same thing. Prabhupada had said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had in the past written about this, that the alphabet name, that is just the letters H, A, R, E, K, R, S, N, A, that itself is may not be Krishna. Krishna comes, he's different than the alphabet name. He comes only when there is a spirit of devotion or an intense service spirit. So you can now begin to understand why it is so important that when you chant, you awaken your spiritual heart with a service attitude or with a spiritual attitude. Only then, when you chant with your heart and not just your lips, 16 rounds, finished, I'm an enlightened soul. No. You have to chant with feelings, to heart deep, to attract Lord Krishna. Let me ask you a question. When do feelings appear in the heart? It's an interesting question, isn't it? When we find someone attractive, then a feeling of attraction, in this case, awakens in the heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Raghavananda, you wanted to say something? Or?
When we feel how great and how then some kind of
feeling comes. We see the greatness of the other, either Krishna or anyone, then some feeling comes. Mm-hmm. Prahlad Nishinga.
Reciprocal service that you receive, relationship.
In relationships, feelings arise. That is a very good point. Yeah. It's very much, I think, what both of you, Nupur and Raghavananda, have said, is contained in what Prahlad Nishinga Dev Prabhu has said. Prahlad Nishinga, isn't it?
Yes.
There must be a relationship, and then a feeling awakes. You know? We feel some kind of relationship. Yes. Any other?
Feeling would be like an emotion.
Feeling is like an emotion, yes. And when does it come? This is another very important early Your good name was a long name, Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa Prabhu, like that, isn't it? Or?
Shrinam.
Oh, Shrinam, not Amala. Shrinam. If Shrinam says an emotion, for instance, let me say, in a situation where there's danger, would you agree, all of a sudden an emotion starts, like fear. Oh, this dog is coming too close, and he is not stopping, and he is now jumping at me. Whoa, danger. Any other? Daya Gauranga Prabhu?
It's reciprocation of somebody's feelings towards us, like gratitude or different.
Yeah. Somebody shows. Yeah, when someone shows a feeling towards us, then as a reciprocation to this, we also feel something. I think we all have seen this. Someone came to us and sincerely offered his gratitude. Thank you. You gave me prasadam when I was really hungry and I had no money to buy anything. And we feel, oh yeah, it's all right. You know, we feel some feeling towards this. So, feelings or emotions are coming very easily when we chant, when all of a sudden we have some relationship to something, to someone, and in that relationship of reciprocation comes, or we feel danger in a relationship when an enemy attacks us, feelings come. So, Madhupati, may I have your pen for a second? So this, if you want to awaken something which sleeps in your heart, the world of feeling, the world of devotional feelings, you have to go into a relationship with Krishna. You have to somehow think of Krishna while you do your chanting. See, Prabhupada once said something which struck me as very important. When you want any spiritual benefit of a spiritual practice, your mental condition is extremely important. See, generally we say if you take a bath in the Ganga will purify you. But is this true in all circumstances? Every morning in Calcutta, about 1,100 prostitutes go into the Ganga and wash their beautiful bodies with the Ganga water. Their bodies are stained from a night of work. There is lipsticks on their body and colors and kumkum, which these lovers for a night have put on the bodies of the prostitutes. And they now go into the, in the morning, you can see them, they go into the Ganga to wash their bodies. Are they now free of sinful desires of illicit sex? No. Already at 12 o'clock they already start, yoo-hoo, with illicit sex life. And in the night also. They don't go in the Ganga with the mood, I want to be purified, Mother Ganga. Well, prostitutes, I have learned, they are not always easy to understand. They may sometimes be very devotional, but I'm speaking now generally. They are a little bit, you know, on the bodily platform, or a lot on the bodily platform. So, Prabhupada writes, people generally go to the Ganges to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here's an example of how foolish persons enter the Ganges to become involved in sinful life. What Prabhupada has in mind is not the prostitutes of Calcutta. He thinks of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva. I won't tell you the story. Those of you who know the Bhagavatam know. They were with many naked women and alcohol in the Ganga. So people generally go to the Ganges to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here's an example of how foolish persons, Kuvera's sons, enter the Ganga to become involved in sinful life. And now listen to this sentence. It's not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. Amazing, isn't it? Intentionality. That is very important. If you want to read this important purport in your own reading time and think about it, it's in the Bhagavatam 10th canto, 10th chapter, text number 4 in the purport. 10.10.4. Yeah. So that mental condition in chanting is very important. Now let me ask you a question. What do you feel is the most favorable condition to attract Krishna? I mean favorable condition, I mean mental condition. What is the most favorable attitude? The most favorable mood to attract Krishna? Remember, we want to chant, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it's the spirit which attracts Krishna, not just the alphabets which we produce. What spirit in the heart is the best thing to attract Krishna? Madhubha.
I would say it's when you're very helpless.
When you feel helpless.
Insignificant.
And insignificant. Maybe a humble state of mind, yeah? Like in that verse, I think Madhupati remembers that verse of Lord Chaitanya, Trinadapi Sunichi. Now, in a humble state of mind, one can always chant, huh? Yes. Lenin Prabhu.
When you realize that you are not doing your eternal duty.
When you realize that you are not doing your eternal duty, you may feel regretful and remorseful, and you feel and that mood is very congenial or very favorable. Thank you, Lenny. Prahlad Nishinha Prabhu.
When I feel very safe when I teach someone else to chant. Lord Gauranga brought it for giving to others.
When I give others the holy name, like Gauranga Mahaprabhu ordered his devotees to do, then I feel I feel connected. I have collected a few quotations. We all know from Rupa Goswami that we have to pay one price to get Krishna, and that's eagerness. That eagerness, that urgency, that feeling helpless, like Madhupati said, and like Lenin Prabhu said, that feeling, oh, I'm not doing the right thing here, I'm not doing my eternal duty. Yes, that eagerness is the only prize which will bring Krishna into your heart. That is said. And here is some quotations for you. Devotees who feel they have no shelter other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they naturally cry to him for help. exactly like children who do not know anything but the protection of their parents. You know, if you know, I have a need for Krishna. In the year 1967, there was the high time of the hippie movement, and the Hare Krishna movement was in the midst of the hippie movement, attracting the spiritually oriented hippies of that movement. And the young devotees came, and I remember there were always Matajis. Matajis were crying always at that time, crying. And we men thought, sentimental Matajis, Hare Krishna. And then some of the Matajis, they wrote to Prabhupada and said, well, what is this? Is it all right that we cry for... And one of these Matajis, her name was Janaki. She had written a letter, Prabhupada, I'm sometimes crying when I chant. Is that all right? Or is it sentimental? Or the boys say it's wrong. Prabhupada answered, tears for Krishna are as good as associating with him personally. Your feelings and tears of Krishna consciousness will make you more enriched in spiritual advancement. So Prabhupada must have had in mind, it depends. If you cry because of yourself, you are, you know, the English word is self-indulgent. Wie sagt man das in Deutsch? Self-indulgent. Selbstmitleid, selbstzentriert, selbst, you know, sowas in der Richtung. But if you can cry for Krishna, then it's as good as associating with him personally, because Krishna becomes attracted to you. Another example is the great soul Vidura. Vidura heard from Uddhava that at the last moment when Krishna was on the planet Earth, just before he left the planet Earth, Krishna had told to Uddhava to say something to Vidura. And Vidura was overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love when he understood that Lord Krishna thought of him at the last moment. Although Vidura thought himself so insignificant, he was remembered by the Lord. Vidura accepted this as a great favor, and thus he cried. Now Prabhupada writes, this crying for Krishna is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. So, my dear devotees, I was once in a seminar, and one devotee said, how do we get out of this world? And then he answered his question. He said, you have to crawl on your belly. You have to be humble. Humble soul. How nice he said it. You have to crawl on your belly. And Prabhupada here in the Nectar of Devotion, he speaks about this. One should feelingly pray, and one should become eager, to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teaching of all great devotees, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. Plakate, yes. One should learn this small technique. And he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. Yeah. See, this inclination for devotional service will only manifest in the heart which is melted. The pride must be melted down. That obstinacy to Krishna must have a meltdown, the ego meltdown. When do we say meltdown? I think it's in atomic. What has a meltdown, Raghavananda?
To change its state.
To change its state, yes. To change one's the state of the ego is so important, Raghavananda. Prabhupada writes, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. There must be a transformation in the heart. We can't go on in ego and anger. Huh? Hare Krishna. Shri Nam Prabhu, what do you think? Ego meltdown. What is your name again?
Chidananda.
Chidananda Prabhu, what do you think? Ego meltdown is important. Yes, Chidananda also feels like this. So, this is important. This is the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. And what is the reason? You must develop a service attitude for Krishna. This is the whole change of heart. Some devotees are disciples of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and some are also aspiring. Syam, what is his name? Syam Bihari. Huh? Syam Bihari Prabhu, who has preached so nicely in Munich and who will hopefully return, and so on. And others are there. Syam Leela. Syam Leela. Yes, Syam Leela. We all know Radhanath Maharaj always stresses in his lecture, we must become a servant, a servant, a servant. Huh, Raghavananda? We always hear this. Because this is the transformation of the heart which is so important. Otherwise, no advancement for you. So, you can see from these quotations and other quotations how important it is to awaken the heart with devotional feelings. It's so important. And this evening we will hear about one incident in Prabhupada's life. I don't know if you know, but Prabhupada did a lot of crying for Krishna. And this evening I will talk a little bit about the heart of Srila Prabhupada. It's a difficult subject, but I will attempt to talk about it. So how can you develop these feelings? There are two ways. One, we have already stated. It means we must have can feel a relationship with Krishna. What helps me very much in developing a relationship with Krishna is praying to Krishna. By prayers to the holy name, you can develop very quickly some good feelings for Krishna. I'm trying to find a nice prayer here in this book, but it's not in here. I have written a book, Prayers to Awaken the Spiritual Heart, but I always find out my books are all over the world, but not in Germany. The distribution net doesn't work in Germany for some reason. So there are very nice prayers to the holy name. Let me see here. I should be. My dear Nam Prabhu, please forgive me for all my offenses. Please bless me with sincere devotion and genuine humility. I offer my most humble obeisances at your feet. The many very good prayers of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At the moment, I really don't have these prayers with me. I'm very sorry. The other thing, to awaken devotional service, we will discuss devotional feelings. We will discuss this evening. It will be very interesting for you. So I want to end here my little class. I thank you very, very much for kindly listening to this. I hope that you will awaken your spiritual heart. Hare Krishna. Let us see if there are any questions at this moment. You have to go. Hare Krishna. Yes, Daya Guranga, and then our one moment. Don't tell me your name. Please tell me your name. Chidananda.
Chidananda,
yes. Chidananda Gaura. Good. Chidananda Gaura. Yes, Dayaga.
In the beginning you was telling about Arjuna and Kansaspaji and the knowledge which we had about the holy name before. Some statements like the story of Ajamil or the statements of Haridas Thakur is that even the Namabhasa is in itself and to liberate the person. Namabhasa, we know that people who speak holy name, even jokingly, but even without knowing, reconcile it.
Yes. There are statements in the Shastra, says Daya Gauranga, which seem to say that you can. It's not always important to chant in the spirit of the. To chant with the right spirit. There are statements in the Bhagavatam that even when it said jokingly the holy name, and even there is a statement, I think, when there is some out of derision, you say, like, oh, these Hare Krishna people. Oh. People can get liberation. And there is the story of Ajamil, who did not think at all of the Lord when he chanted the Narayan, the name of the Lord. And so how to reconcile this with the statement which we have heard? See, you can obtain liberation by chanting these Namabhasa, in this Namabhasa ways, but not love of Godhead. Liberation is it's not good, you know. It's like oh, goddess of liberation, please go away, because in your presence my tilak falls from my forehead. There's a verse like this. There's liberation from material existence, which is so much the dream of materialists. It's not considered to be the goal of devotion. We want an active, loving relationship. We don't just want to stay passively in the Brahman, blissed out, you just be there, you know, frozen in eternity. There must be, we want liberated movement, we want liberated love, we want liberated personal exchange. It's something else than the impersonal liberation. And look at Ajamil. Ajamil did not return back to Godhead after chanting. He just was liberated from death, the different types of liberation. He was liberated from, freed from death, but in order to develop further, he had to go to Haridwar, and he was serving in a temple. That was his service. And then he went to Krishna. You see, your story of Ajami proves that without chanting, without Krishna consciousness, doesn't bring you to Krishna. It's so interesting, Daya Gauranga Prabhu. When you go into the chanting of the holy name, you will find out many things which are different from what is usually assumed. My question to the Hare Krishna movement is, why are you so neophyte if your chanting works? Why do you have so many problems? So little love? Why? Then I say to the Hare Krishna movement, my dear Hare Krishna movement, you have to learn to chant Hare Krishna. I was so shocked when I read this. You can't remember. I had read before Prabhupada saying this, that the letters of the name are not necessarily Krishna, but I had ignored it. I said, no, he didn't say that, you know. And then I read this, and then I looked again, and then I found. Isn't there is also the shloka about milk touched by the fangs of a poisonous snake causes poisonous effect, and that refers to, as far as I remember, to the mantra, which is not the mantra. It's like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, the capsula is not the medicine. There can be poison inside, you know, the cyanide. Any other question? Yes, Chidananda Gaura Prabhu. Chidananda Gaura Prabhu.
You were saying how the Ganga doesn't purify unless your consciousness is right.
Yeah.
You see in the books like Ganga, the book Ganga.
Yeah.
Bhajana Rahasya and Nama Harinam Chintamani.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the Ganga purifies the sins, but not the anarthas that are in the heart. So when you come out, it's considered like an elephant. It takes a bath, but then throws dirt on itself again.
Yeah.
So it's, but you say
It doesn't purify if you have a sinful mentality to which you are attached and which you continue, like Kuvera and Manigriva. They went in the Ganga to make a sex orgy. Woo. And we know they were cursed by Narada Muni. They were not safe from the curse. So if you see, most people which come to the Ganga are not like Nala Kavera and Manigriva doing vile things in the Ganga. I mean sinful activities in the Ganga. But if you would do, you would not be purified. You would not be excused. You would still get sinful reactions. Most people just go, and they go, and they pray, "Oh Ganga, please purify me." They open their hearts to do this. And then Ganga can act, but if someone doesn't come with this readiness, Ganga may not always act. There are examples of two frogs who were on their way to Ganga. Boop, hop, 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 hop. And they were swallowed by a snake. They wanted to bathe in the Ganga to get purified, but on the way they were detained by the snake who came up and... But still the frogs, because they just meditated on becoming purified by Ganga, meditated on Ganga to take their bath, they were liberated from material existence. I think the snake swallowed them and then two spiritual forms came out of the mouth of the snake from these frogs. But that's not the case of people who want to continue to sin. See, the scriptures tell us many stories to encourage us with the right mentality. They tell us stories of the extraordinary effect of Mother Ganga. But again, there is information that if you go and you want to remain a sinner and you continue to sin, Ganga doesn't change you around. See, this is the beauty of spiritual life. Krishna accepts if you want to remain a rascal. He doesn't turn your mind around. But if that is there, this readiness to not remain a rascal, the holy scriptures or holy, let me say, the Ganga has such potency. Ooh. We even put the Ganga in the mouth of the dying man, he can go back home, back to Godhead. In all spiritual things, spiritual activities, your mentality is important. Like Prabhupada says, everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. Therefore, let us, especially as devotees, let us awaken our spiritual heart with feelings of devotion, and then our devotional practices will immediately have an effect. Let us not close our hearts to Krishna. Let us not desire to stay the same person as we are. Let us begin our devotional life in all earnestness. I will end with one quotation which you will like. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana, bhakti e Krishna nama smarana krandana. Devotional service, oh devotional service is the greatest treasure. Devotional service means crying while remembering Krishna's names. Devotional service means to awaken your heart with feelings. I thank you very much. Please come this evening for the second part of this awakening this our spiritual heart. You will enjoy it very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Gonitai ki, Shri Shri Radha Kanaya Lala ki, Gopi Manandi Hari Hari Bo.